Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. We always wake up on Mondays with a frog in the throat. We got to get that little baby out of here. A lot to talk about. It's going to be a busy week. How many of you agree? We are now in the first week of July 2018. In a couple of days, it will be the celebration of July 4th, Independence Day. But do you know in the historical record that it was actually today, July 2nd, that the document was ratified? I mean, it was all put together, it was voted in. And so 2 days later on July 4th, they actually sealed the deal. But today is a special day because it is all about the founding fathers who signed a Declaration of Independence. The author, obviously, was Thomas Jefferson, which we learn about in our history. But I want to ask you a question as we begin here this morning. How many of you remember the story of Daniel in the book of Daniel, who discovered and was the one that was able to interpret what was known as the writing on the wall? Remember the story of the hand of God that was stretched out as the wicked king, knowing he was doing the wrong things, continued to do them, and this hand went out, and it was many, many tekel upharsin. And then Daniel gave the interpretation, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You are weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. We're living in the year 2018, way down the road from the time that Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall. And I believe, it is time for the gifted men and women of God who are given a gift of the Holy Spirit and the ability to interpret tongues, as well as other things. And the writing is on the wall, whether it's your wall on Facebook, whether it's, you know, just on a tablet in front of you, the writing is on the wall of what is going on with our nation. Have we been able to interpret it? A lot of people are witnessing all the events and they are insane. Ladies and gentlemen, the crazy insanity of this moment. I woke up this morning and began my time of praise and worship and prayer, and people started sending me some things, and Facebook was sending videos, and you know, I started looking at a little bit of it, turned on the news, see what's going on in the world, spent quality time in the Word of God. I love the book of Colossians. I've been hanging out there. What a victorious message the book of Colossians is for God's people, a message we need to hear in our generation to stand. And the things going on in the world, and I'll just give you a couple of little, you know, quick little things that are going on about swinging Christians. Yeah, this is real deal. Where married Christian man, married Christian woman, believe the right way to reach the unsaved swingers. And you know what a swinger is? That's when married couples switch partners. So they got this video out boasting, these two couples, that they're Christian swingers. And they don't believe adultery is wrong, because if your neighbor, do not covet your neighbor's wife, but if your neighbor wants you to, then it's not really a bad deal. Don't commit adultery only if we don't want you to. Don't fornicate unless we want you to. And so they've put this video out there, this insane video, but in their minds very normal, how they're going to reach the unsaved swingers by swinging with them and then telling them about Jesus. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's funny and it's tragic. But there are some other things that aren't so funny that are absolutely tragic. And just a couple of the headline news reports that are out there today is a man is accused of murder for beheading his girlfriend with a samurai sword. That's kind of crazy. Little beheading going on. Then we have a robber fleeing cops is electrocuted to death by jumping on the subway tracks. We have, oh, and don't forget this, in the age in which we live, LeBron James, who was playing for the Cleveland Cavs, has just signed a 4-year contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, and he's making, in 4 years, $154
million. $154 million deal to play for the LA Lakers, and for 4 years. It's a lot of money. Man, that's more than Jesse Duplantis gets for his new airplane that he wants to fly, the Falcon C-7, I think it is. He's only asking his partners for $54 million. The televangelist is asking for $54 million, and the reasoning behind the new jet, the other three he's given back to other ministries, which is good. The reason for the new $54 million jet is because it's a one-stop jet. In other words, he could fly all over the world, anywhere in the world, with only one stop, and that's really good because it saves on gasoline. And all he needs is $54 million. LeBron outdid him with a 4-year contract, $154 million for playing basketball with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I go on down the list of all the other interesting things going on in our society, from swinging Christians to beheadings to murder to rape to televangelists flying planes for $54 million, basketball players signing contracts for $154 million. But that's not the least of it. We are now hearing that the tipping point has been reached and civil unrest has begun as a summer of rage is being pushed by the media to incite civil war. Here's an article by Susan Duclos. She writes, "It is ironic that just one day after we noted that another Google group, over 400 center of the left journalists and wonks, was created after the dismantling of the original journalist in 2010,
after media collusion on narratives and methods to kill stories unfavorable to Barack Obama was revealed, that now we see two separate articles in two different publications, both warning of a coming explosion and a summer of rage. Both articles focus on rage or discontent of what they claim to is the majority, and both coincidentally focus on how Republicans are a minority rule, with the summer of rage piece at the cut claiming there is a grassroots rage spreading through the majority, and the misleading Washington Post piece claiming you can only ignore the will of the people for so long and get away with it, while asserting the backlash is coming. It is the deserved consequence of minority rule, government protecting the rich over everybody else, corporations over workers, whites over non-whites, despots over democracies. It will explode, God willing, at the ballot box and not in the streets. A quick fake news alert about the WAPO piece before moving along. Dana Milbank's attempts to justify Congress jamming through Obamacare by offering his audience an outright lie when he states, if anything, the fury should be far more intense on the Democratic side right now than it was for Boehner in 2010. The Affordable Care Act was the signature proposal of a president elected with a large popular mandate. It had the support of a plurality of the public. Either Milbanks has never heard of a search engine or has decided to simply join the gang of liberal media hacks in wearing the mantle of fake news without a care as to truthfulness. Here is what the polling like during the Obama debate and during its controversial passage, which shows that at no time in 2010 and 11 did Obamacare have a plurality of public support. And in fact, according to the Real Clear Politics averages of all polls conducted during that time, the majority of the public was opposed. With the media's constant, quote unquote, outrage of the day or week, depending on how long they can milk it before the public tunes out, and Democratic politicians like Maxine Waters openly calling for Trump administration officials to be harassed, along with multiple liberal media outlets like CNN and MSNBC providing a constant flow of rhetoric against Trump supporters, claiming they are all racist or Nazis, while allowing their guests to openly compare them to rapists, the cumulative effect of their sustained mass hysteria over the past 2 years cannot be denied. Well, the tipping point has been reached. Despite President Trump issuing an executive order on June 20th, 2018, which would stop separating illegal alien families that attempting to cross the border illegally and directing agencies to hold the families together while waiting their court dates and asylum decisions, the mockingbird media had whipped up liberals into such a frenzy that nearly 600 people, including a Democratic congresswoman, were arrested at the U.S. Senate Hart Building in Washington on Thursday, June 28th, protesting the detention of illegals and separating families. So on Saturday, professionally planned protests are scheduled as part of the Families Belong Together March, which has already happened, which includes more than 700 sister protests planned in all 50 states, as reported by The Hill, organized by open border advocates that support unlimited illegal immigration into America and a return to the catch and release policies of the previous administration. So also last week was the protest siege of ICE headquarters in southwest Poland, where federal authorities in full riot gear had to clear the entrance of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement holding facility, which was blocked by a group calling themselves Occupy ICE PDX. Seven were arrested in that protest. Well, Antifa, Occupy Wall Street threatened ICE agents, while Antifa also published a list identifying over 1,500 ICE agents, with Democratic politicians joining an abolish ICE movement and other Democratic politicians leading protests in the street. This is just in the last few weeks alone. So a perfect example of the consequences of the liberal media whipping their audience into a frenzy is provided by DOJ announcement of a California man was arrested today in Los Angeles on charges of threatening to kill the family of Ajit Pai, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, for Pai's role in repealing regulations relating to net neutrality. So the media spent months before the repeal of the Obama-era net neutrality claiming it would be the end of the internet as we know it, and the internet as we know it may not exist, yet since the repeal, no noticeable changes have occurred. Well, Comcast did suffer a nationwide outage on Friday, but that had nothing to do with the net neutrality being repealed. So the constant stream of attacks calls for outright harassment against Trump officials while demonizing Trump supporters in conjunction with the media, claiming that every administrative action or tweet is an apocalyptic event, has brought us past the tipping point. And while liberals in America are actively escalating in their civil unrest activities, we see in a recent Rasmussen poll that 31% of Americans say it is likely that the United States will experience a second civil war sometime in the very near future. The more shocking number from the polls is that 59% of all voters are concerned that those opposed to President Trump's policies will resort to violence, with 33% who are very concerned. Well, Representative Steve King says U.S. is moving toward a civil war. And you go on down the list, and reading all of these different articles, is this part of the writing that's on the wall? America is in turmoil. The kingdom is divided. There is judgment in the land. And in the meantime, we have sports athletes making $154 million. We have televangelists getting $54 million for their jets. We have swinging Christian couples that are engaged in full swing sexual relations with other couples and ministering Jesus to them while they're doing it, because this is the way to win sinners, by joining them in their sin. The new mantra of the age in which we live. It's very depressing on the one side. That's why I'm so happy that I'm born again. And you should be happy that you're born again, and that the Word of God is clinging to your spirit, and you are clinging to the Word of God, because the insanity and the violence is very real. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the midst of a very sick society, and that's why God is allowing the heat to be turned up, for the pot to get brazen hot, to allow his fury to consume the scum and the abomination that is within our nation. It's going to happen. And the violence is going to come as the powder keg explodes. We've talked about the powder keg for years. And again, it's only one strike away, one match lit, and this thing is going to blow. And it's going to be racial, and it is going to be political, and it is going to be on every side. Everything in the divided kingdom is going to clash. And Jesus said in the last days, kingdom would rise against kingdom, nation would rise against nation, ethnos against ethnos. The word ethnos in the Greek is race, race against race. So we're not surprised that this is going to happen. And there are some very, very violent people in the world today. And, you know, just one example of the violence that is erupting within our society, you would hope that you could just simply, you know, go have a little birthday party for your three-year-old, but not so. A refugee's children injured in Boise, Idaho. A mass stabbing attack, suspect arrested. And when you look at the picture of this guy, man, well, he's a knife-wielding attacker, left nine people, including six children, injured in an apartment complex in Boise, Idaho, that is home to many refugees. At least four of the victims sustained life-threatening injuries. Fact, who was reportedly a resident of the apartment complex and not a refugee, is in custody, police say. So the Boise Police Department officers responded to what they called the worst stabbing incident in the Idaho capital city's history. They found nine people in the parking lot and inside the apartment complex who had been stabbed. KBOI reported Police Chief William Bones said some of the injured residents included members of the city's refugee community. And so there you have something going on here. But a little three-year-old was having their birthday celebrated in the same apartment complex while this was happening. The writing's on the wall. Can you interpret it? The writing's on the wall. Can you interpret it? So I would much rather and prefer, quite frankly, to dive into the book of Colossians, because it's so rich and it's so full of life and inspiration. And it would cause any Christian
that apprehends that word and that word that would apprehend them to create great joy in their spirit. And yet we're called to be very watchful, to be sober, to be vigilant. We cannot just inspire ourselves to be happy so we could go do whatever we want to do, ignoring the signs of the times that are around and about us. I think you would agree to that. And so wherever we go, whatever we do, we should be very watchful. And we should be understanding what time it is. And the writing on the wall in our generation, can anyone interpret it? Is there an interpretation? Are there Daniels among us that could look at the world in the country that we live in? Now we have the tariff wars going on with Canada, and we have tariff wars going on with China. And you're witnessing the markets are very, very poised. They feel threatened somehow. And so everything's kind of down today. So where's this all going to go? And the people on the side of optimism and positivity, and, you know, the energy is positive, the energy is optimism. Well, they're going to see every single thing that's happening in our society is a very positive, good thing that's going to bring us back to the greatness that we once were as a nation. Others are witnessing the provocative events that are taking place and are poised for an economic collapse, poised for civil war, poised for a revolution, poised for a summer of rage, poised for violence, poised for a powder keg. I mean, so, and those terms, by the way, are not being created on this radio station. They are what's being touted in the public square, if you will. And these are the voices of the dissidents and the people who are evil that are calling good evil. I mean, this is so many faceted. This has so many different spikes to it that, you know, one really has to step back and say, okay, you know, let me get a perspective of what's going on here. Everything from, folks, it's so embarrassing what's going on in our country. And yet there is a fighting back. There are people that are standing up and fighting back. And I think that every, you know, God-fearing man and woman in this country should be well-equipped and you know, stand up, use your voice, and tell the truth. Tell them what is evil. Tell them what is good. Show them what true light is, so that this mantra of the prophet Isaiah that has come to pass before our very eyes, where they call evil good and good evil. You know this. You've heard this so many times, but it's happening right now. The people that are really angry, the progressives on the left, they're very angry. Have you ever watched Van Jones on the Van Jones show on CNN? Well, Van Jones is a radical, far-left progressive, communist in nature, Islamic-loving man who puts on these shows on CNN and tries to tell everybody about the incarceration issue of the blacks and how unfair everything is and how the phobia against Muslims, how, you know, this is all a real problem, and how those bad people that want to stop Roe versus Wade, the abortion issue, how those bad people that want to stop the homosexual agenda in the nation, you know, they're all bad, and they go out of their way and spend millions and millions of dollars to show how evil and how bad, because this evil, bad system is locking up these, you know, these good young black men. But they fail to tell you the crimes that the young black men have committed. They fail to tell the criminal activity, but, you know, they call the bad guys good. They call the good guys who are putting the bad guys in jail. And is there always some form of unrighteousness in systems of men? Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. There's no doubt about that. But what the left is doing, what Van Jones is doing, is creating an atmosphere of violence, of racism. They who are calling the right racist and Nazis, they themselves are the racists. They themselves want to control the narrative, which is Nazism. They themselves want to control the environment. They are demanding what they want in this country, which is an absolute abomination to what our nation really stands for, and they're trying to bring the global view into America and snuff out the light of the United States of America as far as its integrity, values, principles, and heritage as a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation. And because they were advancing so quickly, and some say that the moment that Donald Trump stepped into the White House, they just set the global agenda back 25 years, and the anxious globalists and the anxious progressives on the left are too anxious to let 25 years go, so they're going to ignite a revolution in the United States of America, and God is going to allow it to happen because all the United States of America is guilty, from the White House to the Supreme Court, and there is scum in the pot everywhere. And that's the reality. There's so much scum. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, I will go back once again to Ezekiel chapter 24, and I'll tell you what God did on Saturday morning, just a couple of days ago, when Patricia and I were at home and resting and having a Sabbath day rest. Well, I turned on the news. I had been in my Bible. I've been studying, praying. We're just resting. It's our Sabbath. I turned on the television. The news was on, and I saw protests going on all over the country, protests from Los Angeles to New York about the immigration issue. And I said in my spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit just kind of dropped this into me, and I remember saying, the heat is being turned up. This thing is going to boil. And then I was quickened in my mind, oh, the Bible says something about the boiling pot. So I went into the Word of God. I found it, of course, in Ezekiel chapter 24, and there's the boiling. And then when I'm done with my studies, the news is on, and at the ticker tape talks about protests throughout the United States. Boil over. There it was, the third witness, the boiling. So what does Ezekiel say? This is the third time I'm reading this, once on radio, once behind the pulpit. But to our Omega Radio friends and to those that are out there listening to The Watchman today, it says in Ezekiel chapter 24, and I believe this is the prophetic word of God from the prophet Ezekiel that was spoken to his generation that is now being spoken to our generation. Again, I'm just going to pick it up in the very first verse. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month. In the tenth day of the month, I'm in Ezekiel 24, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Remember that, the capital city of Jerusalem. He said in verse 3, utter a parable unto the rebellious house. We've already confirmed America's the rebellious house. Thus saith the Lord God. Here's the parable. Set on a pot. Set it on. Also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it. Even every good piece, the thigh, the shoulder. Fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock. Burn also the bones under it. Make it all boil well. There it is, the boiling pot. And let them seethe the bones of it therein. So that's the parable about a boiling pot. Verse 6, wherefore thus saith the Lord God. Here's the interpretation. Here's the meaning of the parable. Woe to the bloody city, Washington, D.C., to the pot whose scum is therein. Isn't it called the swamp? Should have called it the scum. Whose scum is therein and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let not Lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, listen carefully. Woe to the bloody city. I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. She has wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness anymore till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. Neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge you, saith the Lord God. Now, what is the prophet Ezekiel referring to? What did God reveal on Saturday? That the fire is being turned up. The heat is being turned up. The fire is raging. It's causing a boiling over. And the fury of God is going to be in this boiling, that the scum, the corruption, the lewdness, the filthiness, the defilement of our nation is going to be cleansed. And it's going to happen in Washington, D.C. as well, maybe even beginning. And now, how do you turn up the fire? Well, the left is so desperate, they would create a false flag event. They would let off a nuclear device, a dirty bomb in Washington, D.C. Their seething hatred for Donald Trump, this administration, is so great that they would employ foreign agencies. They would bring in through the handshake those forces that would come and ignite. Don't think for a minute, folks, that this is not a reality. This is not just being made up. I'm not making this up. And I've always said God doesn't need another prophet to come to our nation. God doesn't need another prophet. God has already spoken by the prophets. You see, in the book of Corinthians, Paul the Apostle told the New Testament church that everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our admonition and for an example. So if we need a prophet to come to our nation, we just have to open the book called the Bible and listen to what the prophets say about a nation that's like our nation, who has rebelled against God, fought against God, sinned against God, is an immoral disgrace and an ultimate shame of what holiness and Christianity is really about. I don't need some prophet to stand up and say peace and safety right now. I don't need some person to stand up, and you can't find a person. You can't find a person in this world that could stand up and say peace and safety, because they would be going against the very words of God. They would be going against the very words of God, because the true prophets have spoken. And if you happen to be an ordained vessel by God to speak the prophetic words of God, you better be in alignment with the word of God. And the word of God does not say peace and safety, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to just blink and wink at 80 million abortions, the shedding of innocent blood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, I'm going to turn the fire up. I'm going to turn the heat up. The fire is going to burn. The pot is going to boil, and the scum is going to come to be consumed. Man, that's where we're at. I could see the writing on the wall. I'm not going to listen to any man or any woman that says peace and safety to a nation that has offended God Almighty. I don't care who the new administration is. The only thing about the new administration is the acceleration of the judgment that is coming. I guarantee you, if Hillary Clinton would have been the president, there would have been no problem. We wouldn't have Antifa. We wouldn't have Black Lives Matter. We wouldn't have all these groups that are creating the rage. That wouldn't be on the left. It would be just the Republicans sitting back, sulking, et cetera, et cetera. The people that are creating the rage are the people that God's going to allow. I mean, how is it that a prophet of God today, quote unquote, could prophesy peace and safety? No, Donald Trump's administration is the acceleration of the judgment. Under Hillary Clinton, it would have kept going. Borders would have been open. There would have been a fast-paced agenda. I mean, you can't even imagine. But now comes this resistance, right? And it's only provoking. It's accelerating the righteous judgment of God upon this nation. And that's why I say to the Christians, wake up. Man, if you're following a man by the name of Donald Trump, if you're following him, thank God for him that he's doing what he's doing. But if you're following him, you're going to get your eyes off of the truth. The prophets of God. Let me ask you a question. If Donald J. Trump was standing in the White House and Ezekiel was standing right next to him right now, would Donald Trump have an ear to hear? Come on. If Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of the prophets who prophesied concerning the doom of Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, because of their sin against God, was standing next to the leaders of that nation would they have an ear to hear? Jeremiah stood next to his government, and they threw him in a pit and into prison. And they wanted him dead. They didn't like what he had to say. It was against their ingenious plans of making everything great again, right? Their alliances with Egypt would help them. They were all wrong, folks. No, if Ezekiel was standing in Washington, D.C. today, this message would be his message. And there are so many other messages in the book of Ezekiel. But he's the one that saw the King of Glory in the open heavens and knew the heart of God. And this is the message that God put in his heart. And there's no way that God is going to put into the heart of a true vessel of his own peace and safety at a time when our country has done what it's done for 60 years. So we're living in it. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're to warn the wicked. We are to do what God called us to do. But for you, if you think for a minute that Donald J. Trump is anything other than an accelerant to accelerate the judgment upon this nation, because the words of the prophets, remember what happens in the book of Ezekiel? The words of the prophets are for far off, and God says eventually, no, 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 every word they spoke is going to come to pass now. But there was a proverb that these prophets were just, you know, speaking, and they had nothing, none of their prophecies came to pass because everything was delayed. Remember that? That's where we are right now. Open your eyes and see it for yourself if you can. Let's talk about it. 818-369-0326. We've got 25 minutes left in our broadcast today. Maybe you're listening on the internet. You know, is anything being said to be denied? Is there anything that you're hearing right now that someone could say that's not the way it is? No, 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 no. You don't understand. Repentance has fallen upon the United States of America. God has gifted us with repentance, and the whole nation is turning to God right now like the Assyrians did. And because the Assyrian king called the whole nation of Assyria to repentance, including the animals, they fasted, they ripped their clothes, they humbled themselves before God, the whole nation, everybody. Is America, you know, Pastor Vince, you don't understand. America is now being gifted with repentance. And because of our national repentance and confession of our sin, and repenting meaning doing the right thing, you know, this is not God's message of gloom and doom. I'd love for you to tell me that story. I would love for you to tell me that story. Do you ever notice what politicians do when they campaign? They always get a story. For example, when it came to illegal immigration, Kate Steinle was the centerpiece of that campaigning by Donald Trump. Kate Steinle, a beautiful young lady, was killed by an illegal immigrant in sanctuary cities. And they always tell these stories, or Joe the plumber. All the politicians always pick a story. I have people all the time on my AM FM radio program that call in and say, well, let me tell you the story about a mother and her children that were separated and how they came up for us. And they base everything on this one story. Well, a lot of times, the devil is deceiving and distracting Christians because he brings up a story of how good something is over here. It's so good. And because it's so good, we're all made to believe, well, that's the way it really is. But that's not the way it really is, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have not yet discovered the reality of what is hanging over this nation, and I refer to the sword of Damocles, the sword that hangs over every administration of power in the earth, if you're not aware that it's hanging by a horse's thread and that everything is being held back by a horse's thread, I'm telling you, the hair of a horse is the only thing that's keeping everything the way it is, but it's ready to fall. I'm waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. The only good thing that I see going on right now is the opportunity for the church to win as many souls into the kingdom, that there is a harvest of men and women on the planet that are wanting to be born again. There are people that are so ripe to be baptized into Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God, to get filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what I see as an opportune moment for the church, if it wants to live in the glory of God, to get out there and win souls. Win souls. Warn the wicked. Tell the truth. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Drown out the far left's plan. But you'll see how difficult it is because the church is silent in many ways about these issues, and they're just going on with the whole idea
of we're going to turn the tide here. 30 years from now, everything will be different. No. You're not getting it. The writing's on the wall. Let's take our first call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Area code 413.
Good morning. I was looking at Jeremiah 9:21 and Ezekiel 28:23. Do these scriptures not regard what we are going to reap? And what I'm referring to is the shed blood of the innocent in the womb. And I believe that we have not even seen the full weight of us not saying anything, and I'm talking about the church first, of the abortions and the horror in the womb, that those babies were taken out and their life ended in the abominable way that they were. And I don't believe that we haven't even begun to see the bloodshed outside of the womb. And I think of the school shootings. I think of all the other ways that people have been close to situations where lives have been ended. And the blood that I just believe that we have not even begun to see the full weight of God's judgment for not standing up for them alone. And it is, I hear the call. We've got to raise our voice while we still have a voice to raise. So, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. I do appreciate it. And it really provokes a thought to everybody that's tuned into the broadcast right now and listening in. And the provocative thought here is, who are we listening to? Ask yourself that question. I'll ask myself that question. And I want to go down a little list here. Who are we listening to? Are we going to listen to the swinging Christian couple? The Christian couple that swings, has sexual intercourse with other couples while telling them about Jesus? Are we going to listen to Van Jones, the far left progressive that is talking about why we, the intolerant racist Nazis, don't want to open our borders? We don't want to give women the right to murder. We don't want to let homosexuality run rampant in our society. We don't want to let Muslims in. You know, are we going to listen to Van Jones? Are we going to listen to the government? Or are we going to listen to the media? Or are we going to listen to the false prophets declaring peace and safety? Who are you listening to for your life, for guidance, for direction, for truth? The gospel, you have to know something about the Bible, the rich, powerful gospel. It has been turned into a lie. It has been twisted. It has been manipulated. That's why Paul 2,000 years ago was crying out that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light, and it's no wonder that his ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. But they were telling lies. Now we're 2,000 years down the road in a saturated society of behavior control, all kinds of technology. You know, and you know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to take your fervor out of you. They're wanting to take your passion out of you. They're wanting you to calm down and go with the flow. They're wanting you to stop being a separatist and a defiant one against the system. They want you to just go along and get into the big brotherhood of things. Do you understand that? And I don't know how long it's going to take until the human brain is totally taken over by the cosmic technology that's going on, but you have a moment in your life to make a decision. What is the truth? I'm standing with Ezekiel. I'm standing with the prophet Jeremiah. I'm standing with Isaiah. I'm standing even with Moses. I'm standing with them, but more than that, I'm standing with Jesus, the prophet of prophets. I'm standing with John the Baptist, the greatest prophet that ever existed, who came in the spirit of Elijah. I am standing with the prophets of the Bible,
not the self-proclaimed prophets of our generation saying peace and safety, totally blinding people from their need to prepare, to be watchful, to be vigilant, and to get ready. We're talking about making a nation great. I tell you that I'm looking forward to the day that the whole world is under the greatness and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? I'd love to hear from you. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. Been listening
Hi, Kathy.
To the broadcast. Oh, yes. Hi. Yes, I perceive that, you know, through the times that we've known you and your ministry there in Arkansas, your wife also, that you both are very knowledgeable in the Word of God, the whole Bible, the old and the new. And so anyway, I really appreciate that. But here's what I was wondering about. Okay, now in the book of Psalms, and David, the psalmist, he was a man after God's own heart. I read that. Okay, and then I was reading today now in Psalm 68. And then it started out, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also which that hate him flee before him. Okay, there was great wars back in those days as well as we are facing today. But there's a warlike spirit, apparently, that is in this earth after the curse came on this earth, that people want to have this war. And like you just said previously, God wants to bring us eventually into where there is the millennium era of time, and we can read about that in the Bible, what that consists of. But when also in Psalm 68, it's the 11th verse, and I was wondering if you could have a little knowledge on this. The Lord, it says, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Now, somebody told me that that particular scripture, when they did a research, it meant that God was going to raise up women in the end times to proclaim. And I noticed that in the political realm, oh boy, the senators, all them, they're all coming forth. Now, and also there's a lot of denominations, they never wanted to have women, you know, take that a place of being in leadership, but it's changing. So what do you feel about that? And then also in that Psalm 68, there is a rebuke, because in the 30th verse, it says, rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls with the calves of the people. Tell everyone to submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. What was God trying to teach David and all of us?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, stay on the line with me. I want to ask you a couple of questions to get back to yours, okay? I want to ask a couple of questions, and maybe you could help me with this. First of all, do you believe that we are living in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Yes, the signs are here.
Okay, so you do believe this. And for our listeners, you answer the question as well. Then my second question is, do you believe that the book of Revelation is a message to the church living in the last days?
I believe that entire book has to be fulfilled, and people in the so-called denominational churches, you can take the Catholic, the Protestant, and the Jewish, they will not teach it.
Okay, so, but you and I, we agree that and believe that the book of Revelation is a prophetic word from God to maybe for the last 2,000 years, but definitely for our generation, that prophecy must be fulfilled. Okay? We believe it's the last days. We believe the book of Revelation is an end time prophecy to be fulfilled in that end time generation, which would be us. Now, we're told in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3, that there is a great blessing by reading this book of Revelation. That blessed are they who hear and those who and minister this book, right? So there's a great blessing
to the people that understand the message of the book of Revelation prophecy. Would you agree to that? There's a blessing in it.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a blessing in it, which would afford righteousness, rejoicing. I mean, the word blessing there just is just, it make you happy. Okay. So we agree with that. So this book of Revelation, which is an end time prophecy that has been lingering to the end time generation, it's here now. It has to be fulfilled, and it creates joy in the life of those who receive it, the church. It's to the church, the seven churches, encompassing all the churches in the last 2,000 years. So let me ask you this. What is the joy of this message? And
Message of the book of Revelation, is that what you're asking?
What is the joy? Yes, what is the joy of this message? The joy that's given to God's people.
Well, when you cut through this, according to Revelations, the great tribulation that we have started into to a certain degree, and that we will have the joy of the Lord is two aspects, in my opinion. The Bible says that it's your strength. And as you delight in the Lord, and this is to the overcomers, not all. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so they will have that in their spirit. But you will pay a price. You will die to yourself, of course. And all your whims and all that we have in our carnal nature. But when we come through this, our robes will be washed clean, and we will be ready to be the bride. It's a process.
Okay. Okay. So now let's just build upon what you're saying, okay? So this book of Revelation, the final prophecy to be fulfilled in the earth before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, is given to believers that they would rejoice in it. And yet we know in the seven letters, there are corrections that are necessary for God's people. Okay. And so we have a book that affords joy. Now, what is the message of the book of Revelation? I believe that the entire book of Revelation, when the prophecy begins, it is a dismantling of all the nations of the earth and the destruction of Babylon. And listen to Revelation 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be no more. And then it goes into this detail before and after. My point is simply this. If we're in the last days and all end time prophecy is going to be fulfilled, which talks about a great falling away, the coming of the Antichrist, and all the message of the book of Revelation, the opening of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, the pouring out of the vials, the ultimate destruction of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, it's all about the destruction of the world systems, and God's people are told to rejoice in that the kingdom of God may come. So my point is, why are so many Christians troubled by the destruction of this satanically inspired world that we live in, and they're peering at a gnat, if you will, straining at a gnat, swallowing camels, about making America great again, when God's end time promise is that every nation is going to be dismantled until the kingdom of God is set up, and every Babylonian aspect of our nation and generation that we live in, the globalist agenda. I mean, America is very much like Babylon in many aspects. And so are the Christians supposed to be trying to make America great again, or are they rejoicing at the stuff that is coming to dismantle every nation until the King of Glory comes?
Well, okay. Babylon, I was told by, and I'm not going to mention the name, a prophet of God that was brought here from another country to warn America. And Babylon is America. We have made many nations wealthy and rich. And the reason I've come to this conclusion about why the Christians today do not want to believe to the end in Revelation the book is going to be fulfilled is because there's a strong delusion out there, and they've believed a lie. And then I believe also when it comes down to the very end in the book of Revelations, it does say this is where it's going to end apparently. In Revelations 22, it says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And then it says, John the Revelator, it was the one that brought this out. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, Jesus Christ will, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now, that's my understanding.
Okay. Well, let me ask another question. You know, there's no doubt that there's the Babylonian systems everywhere around the world right now through globalization in the last generation. I want to go back to Rome, the Roman Empire, just for a moment. Rome was a great empire, a empire that ruled the world 2,000 years ago. And there was Constantine who brought Christianity to be the official religion, the state religion of Rome. But Rome had become so decadent, vile, with Caesar worship, idolatry, altars of idolatry, all these wicked things. Homosexuality ran rampant. I mean, it was just an immoral place. It was destroyed, as every other kingdom before it was. So how is it with America's short time, and the Bible says that that seventh kingdom shall only be for a short time? When the seventh one comes, it will only have a short time. And an hour short time. Uh-oh, somebody. I'm sorry, Kathy. In our short time upon the earth, as a nation, we have become so corrupt, so vile, that the words of the prophet Ezekiel are saying that the fire is going to be turned up, the heat's going to be turned up, the water is going to boil, and the scum of this nation is going into the fury of God to purge it. And we're not purged. And yet we're a divided kingdom. And my question is, if the Roman Empire, if the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, every other empire of the world came to its zenith and then it warred against God. First, it just kind of ignored God. It rebelled against God. Then it fought against God. And it was destroyed. It was destroyed. And Americans, Christians in America need to know the only thing that makes any place great is Jesus Christ. And not until the lips of the leaders of America begin to exalt the name of Jesus above their own names, above their own agendas, their political strategies, their policies, not until Jesus Christ is brought to the forefront of everything in this country should anybody think for a second that this nation that has fought so hard against God is just going to all of a sudden be okay. It's not going to happen. The fire is coming to America. The heat is being turned up. It's been turned up in times past. It's boiled before. We've seen the boiling points. But it's going to boil, and it's going to stay boiling. And then going to come the powder keg explosion. And the implosion in America is going to be worse than an explosion. Forget about an explosion. It's an implosion that's going to bring the violence of what God is saying through the prophet Ezekiel. And so I say to my dear friends out there, Kathy, thank you for the call, first of all. God bless you. Thanks for the dialogue we've had together today. I've got to get running because Patricia Joy is going to come in with another perspective of the kingdom of God and what we as Christians ought to be doing while we are understanding what God is doing. And the only thing I would say to Christians is what my dear friend Keith Green would say. And here's the song. God bless everybody. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing.
Draw me, but draw me. Please draw me, my Jesus, into your presence where I cannot lie. My soul is so thirsty, I cannot endure it. And if I can get closer, I surely will die. Take me, oh take me, please take me, my Jesus, quickly, before I forget that I'm lost. For so many times, my mind has deceived me, that I really don't have to carry the cross. That I really don't have to carry the cross. I just need to know how to pray. My wicked desires block the way. Sometimes I have breathe you away. I don't want to do that today. Help me, help me, help me, my dear.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back on radio, ministering God's will and truth to my knowledge of understanding. This is one of the things that have most excited my heart, is that the Spirit of God wants us to understand all of what He has given us. Not some of it, not part of it, not doctrinal differences, but the full Word of God, complete in every way. And the night before last, I heard a famous internet radio host shout out because of the horror and deception that is progressing in our nation. Here's what I heard her say. Where is the church in these days? Why aren't they rising up? Are they doing spiritual warfare? Are they fighting Satan, who is the cause of all of this? No, they're not, she said. Where are they? Well, folks, here we are. New Wine Ministry is the fighting cause of the enemy with the knowledge we have been given. It is spiritual warfare, and we understand that. And it is our desire to help others understand spiritual warfare as they have never learned in some churches, and in other churches partially learned, but still don't understand the very depth of spiritual warfare. To understand the battle, we need to begin with acknowledging that we are in a war. Battles make up smaller components of the bigger picture. By definition, battles involve combat between two persons, between factions, between armies, and they consist of any type of extended context, struggle, or controversy. This is through Webster Dictionary that I found it. And as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle of some sort on a daily basis. In warfare, battles are fought on different fronts, for different reasons, and with varying degrees of intensity. The same is true in spiritual warfare. Our spiritual battles and warfare are real. Believe me when I tell you they are real. You are not having mental issues. You are not having physical issues. You are having battles, warfare that is real, even though we cannot physically see the attack. But we have been told and shown differently. We have been brainwashed into different concepts and ideas about what's going on in our life. But we can educate ourselves on how the battle are fought and how they impact our lives on a daily basis, folks, on a daily basis. We need to begin to open our eyes, open our ears, and understand the truth of spiritual warfare. The church is responsible for this information to go forth, that we may be what God has asked us to be from the very beginning of this world. We have to ask ourselves, why do we even want to fight? Who wants to fight? It will do us no good to educate ourselves on the battle if we see no reason for the fight. War is very controversial today in the physical realm. We're hearing about it every day. And in Matthew 24, it says that we will have rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars in the latter days. Well, hello, that's all we get. Our wars and rumors of wars on an international basis, hearing it on the news day in and day out, some fake, some real news. And we don't even know which one is up. However, in the spiritual realm, there is a battle going on regardless of our opinion about it. You can have your doctrinal differences, but regardless of our opinion about it, we are either going to be victors or victims, and Jesus has come and conquered. The war, have I said this over and over again, is already won in the heavens. And Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18 that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We now have the privilege of having an eternal relationship with God. All we need to do is learn how to execute what has already been done for us. And many of us enter into the covenant of salvation by grace, but the Matthew 28:18 verse is not only about our salvation, it is also about our everyday victory, which adds up to victorious living in Christ. Don't you want this? Don't you want to understand it? Every day, victory is achieved by knowing, believing, and understanding the battles that we are enduring daily. And regardless if we are passive or active in the battles, do you want all that God has for you on this earth right now? Or do you want to wait until you get to heaven to receive the victory and the blessings? The book that I have written, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is a Bible study on understanding the battle of spiritual warfare, where where it gives us a foundation on how and what the battles look like in our lives. I speak of it intensely in detail, and we are going to examine three main areas of where the battles are fought: the spiritual battle, the worldly battle, and the battle within us. We're going to review and discuss what the Bible says regarding these areas, and we'll learn how to apply the scriptures to our personal lives to bring victory over these battles. It begins with learning the truth of God's word and dispelling the lies of the enemy. Most of us don't know what the word of God in truth is regarding the battle and the lies that Satan has spoken. We're searching for it constantly. What is the truth? Where is the truth for right now, for our lives? Where are we at? Where we are at in the times we are in? And the word of God tells us that's what the battle is all about, to understand the truth, not to be deceived any further, because the woman that was crying out with all her heart on the internet radio program was saying, where is the church today? Are they teaching on spiritual warfare? Are they learning about spiritual warfare? Oh, church, we have to become strong and mighty. How do we know that there is a spiritual realm even? Do we and believe the depths of it? We hear about it, but how deep does this go in us? If we cannot see it, should we believe in it? Many believers and unbelievers today do not want to deal with a world we cannot see, when the world we do see is hard enough to deal with. Before we can discuss this spiritual battle, we have to believe in the spiritual realm. That's what my book is all about. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You can order it on Amazon. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Wrote it for this purpose and reason. We have to begin to believe in the spiritual realm and how deep it goes. You know, we have a tendency to act like two-year-olds, like a two-year-old child who closes her eyes or his eyes and places a blanket over their head, really believing that no one can see them because they cannot see them. Just because we cannot see the spiritual realm, does it not mean it is not there? Keith Green, that you just heard, a Christian songwriter, wrote, "I, Satan," meaning Satan, "I used to have to sneak around, but now they just opened their doors to me." This is a song that Keith Green wrote. We have him on daily when we are doing Omega Broadcasting, Omega Radio Broadcasting, and Blog Talk Radio. And here is what his song says. "I used to have to sneak around," meaning Satan, "but now they just opened their doors. But now they just opened their doors. No one's looking for my tricks because no one believes in me anymore. However, if we choose to ignore or not believe in the spiritual realm, we will find ourselves confused, frustrated, and quenching the peace that each of us. The best defense," this is not his song anymore, I'm saying, "the best defense is a strong offense. Just educating ourselves about the spiritual realm is half the fight, and God gives us everything else we need to be victorious with the other half. And that's what I teach in my book." That is the description of spiritual warfare and the invisible components that I speak of in my book. What does it mean to you? Do you want to acquire the information? You know, too few are truly interested in this. Or are we telling others about the necessity for spiritual warfare today? You know, we all have an innate sense that there is more than what the eye can see. We all get it. Hollywood gets it. They make many movies about it. However, since we do not see it, we often fail to believe in it, really believe in it. We can talk about it, but do we really believe in it? Do we really understand it? That's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You can find it on Amazon. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. If we do not believe in it, then we cannot be aware of all that is going on right now with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the power of the unholy spirit. Holy Spirit, power working for us. Unholy Spirit, power working against us. I wrote about it in my book. I tell you exactly what the unholy spirits are like and how we could recognize it. Subtly they come, but the awareness of it, we need to know. Whether we choose to believe in the existence of spiritual beings and places, and does not change the fact of their existence in their activities. I don't know how much more I can say about it. Come on, let's just step back a minute to assess what we do believe. As Christians, it took faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me? We cannot see him, but we believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that God raised him from the dead, and we believe that he alone is the source of our eternal salvation. All those beliefs are not physically seen. We can't see him today, but we know, we understand, we believe Jesus accomplished these things in the spiritual realm when he lived in the physical realm here on earth. We know that we too need to believe in the physical realm to be welcomed into his spiritual realm. We've learned that. We understand that, hopefully. Not all, but we're hoping that many, many, many will come into this knowledge and truth in the great harvest that is being expressed today in the earth. It is faith that confirms to our hearts that we will be going to a very real place called heaven someday, a true spiritual realm. But it's real. It's real in its makeup, in its contents of spirit. It is essential that we understand the external and internal realization of heaven. And the Bible is filled with references to the heavenly realm, or a place that is invisible to our eyes physically today, yet very real in its existence. And the more we believe in it, the more real this existence becomes, and the more open it is to us, for us to see and to understand its reality. We believe with the eyes of our heart instead of with the eyes of our head, which is so limited. There have been others who were able to see with their physical eyes into the spiritual realm, and God is willing to give that to us today if we would just believe. Believing is the essential part, and not believing is the sin that'll take us to absolute torment now and in eternity in hell. You may laugh at that, but there are too many who have returned with God's allowance to express what they saw, and it was unbelievable. But again, it's all in the believing. Okay, what is taking place in each situation? There are two scenarios of activity that are taking place in the invisible realm around us. God allowed these men to bridge the gap in the physical realm to see into the spiritual realm. He's willing to do that for you. He's willing to do that for me. The Lord opened the eyes of Elisha, servant, to see the hosts of God's army. His spiritual eyes were open to see into the spiritual realm warfare around him. And only Daniel saw the angel standing before him as everyone else felt the terror because of the power of goodness and greatness, and fled from the scene. Daniel was granted an access to see, hear, and speak spiritually as he could communicate with the angel. God is willing to do that for you and I today. We're not playing games here. This isn't some kind of fairy tale. This is more of a reality than the very everyday life we live. In that everyday life we live, what we understand for that everyday daily life, this is more real. And one day you're going to see how real it is, one way or the other. That is the very thing that is happening in the world today, the reality of the darkness, the intrusion falsity and deception into the minds of men and women all over this world, and greatly in this nation, especially from those that have come from other places of the world. and not have literally been born and raised here for into the third generation. The examples I'm talking about clearly demonstrate the working of an invisible spiritual realm around us. Are you going to turn away from this, or are you going to begin to really open your eyes, your spiritual eyes that you may see, your ears, your spiritual ears that you may hear? The Lord is with us and provides for us through his angels as he chooses. But we can learn how that works if you would purchase my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Now, you can do that two ways. You could go to Amazon and purchase it, or you can give to this ministry $20 so that we can continue in this incredible work. And by doing so, receive the gift, a gift, which would be my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that will help you to understand what I am projecting this very moment. It is up to you. It is up to you, but it's available to you if you just so desire to do so. All you need to do, folks, and it's very simple, if you want to give to this ministry, which I believe is vital for the moment, just send your gift, your offering, to P.O. Box 100, a $20 offering. P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas. And the zip code is 72722. The name on it will be Pastor Vincent Xavier, so that this Omega radio program will continue to ring true throughout the world in which it is reaching. And you will be part of that book for sending that gift or giving that for the work of the kingdom. And in return, the gift of my book will be sent to you. Just give us the return address. It's all you need to do. But I'm asking you to please understand the reality of what I am expressing about the spiritual realm. The Lord loves us, protects us physically as he works it out spiritually. Everything is in the spirit first. However, we must be extremely careful of not delving into this place with wrong motives, because Satan is there to catch you. And the Bible explicitly warns against the practice of spiritual fascinations. And there are many that get caught up in that. And I also talk about that in my book. The balance of truth is balance of moderation. And when you go to extremes in any way from the absolute truth of God, you're in trouble. Just as the agents of God exist in this invisible place, so do the agents of Satan. And too many do not believe or understand this reality. Demonic forces want to lure us into their deceptions of power and supernatural activities, and there are all kinds of Satan workings being done in the world today, back into pagantry, back into witchcraft, back into satanic rituals like you would never believe. Witchcraft, horoscopes, psychic phenomena can seem innocent on the surface. I know I've been involved with it, yet are dangerous influences causing great harm to those who get involved. And I could have gone down that road myself, and praise be to God, he found me. Hallelujah. I'll never be happy enough in that. I'll never be able to express my joy, my thanks, to know the truth, and the truth set me free. There are those that I'm that are hearing me right now who believe that fortune-telling horoscopes and Ouija boards are harmless fun. But what does the Bible say about that? I tell you about that in my book. I tell you exactly what it says and what the scriptures speak regarding these issues, in which I found my release and my freedom by learning. Learning what? The truth of God. Have you ever been involved or participated in these types of activities? We're going to discuss in my book what happens and how it started. Your eyes have to be open to this reality, because children are being pulled into this in mass amounts, and not even understanding what it is, are being taught it, even in the schools. Not all, but some, by the teachers who believe in it. And I'm telling you, our children on the internet are being inundated with this kind of thing. This is occultism to its greatness, and it's getting greater and more deceptive every day. And our kids are being pulled into it. I was. I've learned in this first spiritual section of my life about spiritual realm, and the invisible, unseen forces are real. Only I thought the evil ones were good and the good were evil. I was totally turned around, and I believed in Jesus Christ finally. Then when I believed that he died to conquer the works of the devil to set me free, I became free. So in all of this said and done, there would really be no reason for Jesus Christ to come and die for us if this is all there is. There are forces, both angelic and demonic, that are actively working around us and trying in us to obtain their position with open doors. And those open doors are sin. There is evil that we fight in our spiritual warfare. Jesus told us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us that gates of hell will not prevail against the work that God has purposed for us to accomplish as his will is being worked out in our lives. But we do hit oppositions, body of Christ. We need to understand that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers in heavenly places that I have said over and over and over again. And as we begin to get more and more revelation of the spiritual warfare, we will begin to understand how the enemy moves against us in the physical realm. There'll be scriptures that'll tell you examples and exactly how this spiritual conflict worked and manifested in physical form. And I will explain how it comes into the believer and brings a strong man to conquer what we are trying to accomplish within us, and literally takes residence. We who have been living here on earth has a Bible available to us that gives us a clear outlook on what is happening concerning our spiritual life in the spiritual realm. God is looking for a righteous man, but Satan wants to prove God wrong. That's why Satan attacks. But he needs an open door for that. And I explain what those open doors in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. That there are many ways open doors can come into our lives, or we allow by financial problems, family problems in the home. It could destroy our health. And our own friends that come against us when our minds are changed to believe a certain way and they just won't go along with the program. They want their way and believe their way is right and they leave. They start pressuring us and then slowly but surely move away. God bless you. This is Patricia Xavier, wife of Pastor Vincent Xavier, co-pastors of New Wine Ministry.